Welcome to Gadgets, a podcast from Gizmodo where we woman-splain the latest technology. I'm your host, Florence Zion, consumer tech reporter here at Gizmodo, and I am joined today by Philip Tracy, who is filling in for your usual co-host, Michelle Earhart. Hi, Phil, our honorary Dujet.
Hi, Flo. Thanks for having me again. This is Phil, the best part of my week.
Thanks for coming in. I honestly just have you here because I love talking to you, and sometimes I have to hold myself back from slacking you
about things. We do slack all the time
because there's, like, you know, exciting things. And so I thought, this week Michelle's not feeling too well, unfortunately. We're hoping Michelle rests and gets better. But since we are talking about some of the latest Apple rumors that have cropped up, it felt like you would be the perfect person to come and just kind of, like, gush over them with me.
Yeah, happy to. Although, okay, you know what side I'm on, if there are sides. But I can.
You
I can
know what after. Side I'm on, so we're going to have to gush from...
Your background says it all, yeah.
This is my background today. It's the iPhone SE, a picture that I took before this desk mat that is featured in this background got very dirty. Yes, I need to clean my desk mats. That's for another day. So also all about WWDC, because that's coming up in 3 weeks. I know we just finished Google I.O. last week, but now we have to talk about Apple. So the developer conference is coming up. We've got plenty already happening in the rumor mill. We've also got a new pair of headphones that were reviewed on the site this week.
Excited about these.
Mm-hmm. Where are mine? Oh, mine are back over here. I have the predecessors to the brand new Sony. Now, hold on. Let me get the name right. WX1000XM5. It really rolls off the tongue.
They really, after 5 years of hearing that they need to change it, they've just doubled down. I love it.
I know. I was going to say the predecessors are the M4s. That's all I call them. I call them the W4s and the W5s because I can't get that middle part at all.
I go with Mark 4, Mark 5, like their cameras.
Yeah, that works. Well, the good news is that the reviews, I know, right? The good news is that the reviews are good, though, so at least we have that going for us. So we will get into that. And then finally, in today's show, we're going to talk about something a little unhinged. I promise I'm not trolling. We are going to talk about printers in defense of the printer. Okay, I'm going to make my case for that. So please stay tuned if you feel strongly about printers, because we'll have something for you pro-printer people. What's coming up?
They've been waiting for this moment.
Have you? You just, you wait. That feels like a good little segue for us. Take a little break. Well, Google I.O. is over, and although I don't feel like I've fully recuperated after last week's intense barrage of Google news, now I have to prepare myself for what's next from Apple for its WWDC developer conference, which feels redundant, like saying ATM machine. Because it's Worldwide Developers Conference.
Developers Conference, yeah.
Uh-huh. So, you know, you don't want to trip up over that. But it's coming. It's starting June 6th, which is really just around the corner. When you think about it, it'll be here in a flash. And Phil, we've already seen, between you and I think we've covered some of, like, the bigger, more, I don't want to say confirmed, because a leak and a rumor is never quite confirmed, but we have our pulse on what's happening in the rumor mill. You want to start us off with that Surface Pro-like keyboard that you wrote about.
This is not one I expect to see at WWDC, or maybe ever, but it is interesting.
I know. It's a hardware thing. And to backtrack real quick, WWDC is a lot more of a developer show than Google I.O. is. In fact, Google kind of did a little anomaly on us this year with all the hardware. But what you can expect is that Apple will make some announcements related to software that relates to it, the hardware that they put out. So that's kind of why I wanted to go through some of the hardware. So Surface Pro-like keyboard, please, if you might, if you can.
Yes. Yeah, so this is a patent, so please take it with a grain of salt. And yeah, it looks like Apple is at least experimenting with this idea of turning the iPad, you already have the Magic Keyboard, but creating a more Surface Pro-like keyboard that would bring the iPad closer to parity with the MacBook. And there are a lot of different ideas they threw around in this patent, and some of them are just kind of absurd. There's the standard Surface Pro where you click in, you've got a keyboard, and you're good to go. Then there's another where it clicks in at the hinge that overlaps the screen of the iPad. And the hinge has its own, I hate to say it, but it has its own little touch bar display, essentially. And it would show things like battery life, the date, and things like that overlapping the actual iPad screen. That is an actual thing that Apple got a patent for. And what's really fascinating is that in all of the images, most of the images they had in the patent, the iPad or the whatever tablet this is shown running very clearly a desktop operating system, something that looks a lot closer to Mac OS than iPad OS or iOS.
Absolutely.
And Apple has said for many years that they aren't going to turn the iPad into a desktop or a laptop replacement. The iPad is a tablet and it will stay that way. So Apple claims. But clearly, they're at least teasing the idea of converging those two product segments, creating one gadget for everyone.
Right. And that I'm curious if it's going to be anything like Google I/O where Apple will kind of say, okay, developers, here's like this thing that you can do. And that's sort of leading to the eventuality right. of a patent like this coming to fruition. Because yes, this is just a patent. Like, we're not going to hear anything about this from this year. I mean, these things take years in a lab to, you know, a so-called lab to kind of put together into something usable. But I do think it was interesting you bringing up the fact that, yes, on these renders, these patent renders, you see a Finder window.
I don't like
It's dubious. It's dubious because it's not a true understanding of what Apple wants to do with its operating systems.
Yep.
That's sort of how I feel about it.
Yeah.
It's also possible that they just filed it just to file it and be able to wrangle it so nobody else can
throw people off their scent.
Exactly.
But it's not above Apple to tease something out for developers. Like, of course, they needed people to port their apps over to their new ARM-based chips, right? So they basically mm-hmm. teased the M1 processor, which when you think of Apple, you think, okay, very last minute, we're going to see this thing that we've never heard of, and they're going to release it in full. But you can't always do that. So it is possible that Apple teases this idea, gets developers hyped up about it. They have their fingers on the keyboard already, ready to, you know, optimize their apps for whatever comes next. Mm-hmm. We could hear something like that. I don't think it's this. If there's one thing I like about this patent, it's the idea of that hinge having the screen, but only being shown on the outside of the tablet. So if you close it on the keyboard, you can still see things like the battery life and the date if it remains on while the tablet is closed on your desk.
It's a very nice Android move. I'm just going to say that.
It is loud. Very much so. Yep.
Sorry to say that. I will say what's not an Android move is this next little piece about the Apple Watch Series 8, which, again, WWDC, not a hardware show, but I'm very curious to see what they're going to introduce, you know, in the wearables realm, like if there's anything new there, especially because we have this talk about how the Apple Watch Series 8 might get body temperature tracking. That's a big deal in the wearables world because previously it was not something that was offered. And this is such a technologically, this is a very difficult thing to emulate on something that you wear every single day, The only body temperature tracking that I could think of that would be something you could wear every single day is like when you go to the hospital and they put the little finger mark on you
yeah,
to kind of make sure, you know, things are going okay. This is going to be a boon, I think, for the Apple Watch. The Series 7 was a little underwhelming from what I understand. So the Series 8, I think, has to really like come through with some new features. And I feel like we could see the building blocks for that at WWDC.
It's really interesting how these watches have evolved, because I think when we first thought of the smartwatch, we thought, well, just put everything from your phone onto your wrist. But I feel like the last few iterations, the most significant highlight of the new devices has been health related. The mm-hmm. ECG, for example, from Apple. And now we're talking about, you know, of course, the heart rate monitoring and things like that. And now we're talking about this temperature tracking. I'm curious if that would be continuous, if you could actually see like a graph throughout the day. I do like the idea, because obviously in these times, tracking something like that is very important. But everyone's body temperature is a little different. You go online and you read the average 98.6, and then you track yourself and you're at 99.3 and you start getting worried, but that might be completely normal for you. And having that graph that shows you what's normal for you specifically, you know, could get rid of that uncertainty.
I mean, at the end of the day, that's really what these wearable features are for. They're for aggregating generalized data so that you have an idea of what's going on inside of you. They are not a replacement for, again, like the top tier machines that they use at the hospitals and all that. It's really just, it's like when I wrote about the Series 8 rumor, I had mentioned how this would maybe be really helpful to somebody who's trying to conceive. But now that I think about it, yeah, it would have to be something nearly accurate enough. Something akin to that. And technologically, I'm trying to like grasp how that would happen, but
I mean, they have to go through,
to look forward to.
Yeah. I assume Apple typically doesn't release anything unless it's gone through regulations. It's been certified by, you know, the bodies that
you mean versus Samsung, which they ended up, if I recall, they ended up announcing some things before it was approved, I think. Oh,
yeah, that sounds about right.
I'm trying to remember. This happened last year, and you know,
we had the razor mask incident was not.
That's right.
And a great way to go about it.
Yeah, but you did bring up a really good point, just to kind of like end on that note for this little wearables bit, which is that the thing that is going to set apart wearables is no longer the operating system. It's the health tracking abilities, because we've already seen like Garmin and Polar have been able to sell their smartwatches just to people who, you know, athletes and folks and mountain bikers. And oh, cool. Which one do you have?
Oh, no, I'm not prepared for that. The Venue SQ.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Okay. And you use that for like health workout.
Yep.
Life tracking.
Mostly for tracking like my gym activity. Yeah, the Venue mm-hmm. SQ, $150. Yeah. It does everything I need. Screen's nice. Battery life is a full week. I like it.
Complaints. See, this is why the Pixel Watch last week at Google I/O, even though it was supposed to get us all excited, like this is why it kind of left me being like, eh, because the health features. What is it? Because I already have the great notification notifier here on my wrist. It's the Galaxy Watch 4 from Samsung. It's fine. Mm-hmm. It's fine.
The Apple
also tells me how stressed I am.
And a Wear OS watch. Of all of the products I'm most jealous of for Apple fans, it's the Apple Watch for years, because there has been no alternative.
I know.
It's fascinating that you're using it, that you have Samsung on your wrist. But
well, so did everybody else at the Google I/O keynote last week. So clearly
there's one option.
Think about it. It's kind of like Apple, actually. One option.
It is. Maybe they just keep it that way.
It is. Speaking of only one option, again, I don't know if we're going to hear this at WWDC. This is just kind of an Apple rumor hour is what we're doing right now. because there's been so much coming out in just like the last week and a half. It's been pretty interesting. Apparently, Apple's been testing USB-C for the iPhone.
I mean, I just, I want to clap. I wish I could do the. I want to cheer.
No, I want to do the, you know, when the Grinch does the smile that like curls yes. up, like that's what I want.
It's a good emoji that can get pretty close. Yeah. I mean,
that's... Oh yeah. You guys are going to do USB-C. I will tell you, this will make it easier. Exactly. Well, this will make it easier to share cables.
Yes. This is a good thing.
I can't tell you how annoyed I get. Bless, I love my family members, most of them. I can't tell you when they come over with their iPhones and they're like, Flo, do you have a lightning cable? Do I look like I have a lightning cable now? because now I have iPhones in my storage. But before I did it, like, you know that I'm like an Android person, right? Do you want me to take you? I've taken people to CVS to go buy themselves a cheap lightning cable before. So these are the things you do for the people.
At CVS, I'm not sure it's so cheap. I'm probably charging like $20.
That's a good point.
I mean, this is, it's always baffled me how reluctant Apple's been. They use USB-C on all their other products. And then the iPhone, every other smartphone is using USB-C, but the iPhone for some reason, I mean, I know MagSafe, they want to push out accessories, but I mean, this just, it needed to happen. And it's being pushed by the EU. By the way, it's the, you know, Apple's being basically pushed into a corner.
I love the way the European Union just comes in and says, you know what?
Stop doing that.
The US should have regulated you, and they didn't.
That's exactly right. Yep.
Well, we've got a couple more little things to try and quickly get through. The next thing is fresh Apple apps, which was a little piece that I wrote the other day. And basically expect some UI updates to some of your favorite Apple apps. Expect some streamlining of iOS 16. But nothing super drastic.
Your standard update. I feel,
yeah, just your standard update. Also, this is fun. Apple employees have been spotted using an unreleased tap to pay between phones feature. So instead of you going to the aforementioned CVS and overpaying for the aforementioned lightning cable, you would go to your friend. Or I guess you could go to the ice cream man and buy a Sonic ice cream. Right?
The SpongeBob for me, but Sonic is good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you would pay them with your iPhone. You just go, hey, buddy, here's $5. Because of inflation, ice cream got very expensive, by the way. I'm not even kidding. It's bad.
Everything is.
It's all everything's bad. Going up. Even I get it. I get it. So that should, yes.
It's coming. I mean, this coming. It works. We saw it in action. The short video of somebody using it stressed me out because they were tapping phones together, and that's like nails on a chalkboard for me. You have to be careful. Be gentle with other people's iPhones. Please don't smash your phone against theirs. They are made very much so of glass. So instead of tapping on that little square that, you know, that white little square, terminal that would connect to the, auxiliary port, which doesn't exist anymore. So the lightning port now. You just tap directly to the phone, but please be careful of that glass.
I want to be able to do this from Android though, because I feel bad every time I go like get something done, you know, hair, wax, whatever. They pull out that little square reader and it just has that little aux dongle, and like nobody has a headphone jack anymore. So they're just like sitting there awkwardly waiting for it to connect via Bluetooth so we can do this payment.
I ran into that problem at a farmer's market. I was trying to get some local kombucha, and they had just opened up their stand, and the lady had just bought a new iPhone that didn't have, it was like one of the first ones without a headphone jack, but she had the square. She had no idea what to do, and I didn't either. There was like no answer.
Oh my goodness.
It was I think I had cash, and it worked out, but
okay.
It was not ideal. She ended up getting an adapter at some point, but anyhow.
You see, like it's our job then to pull out our own adapters and be like, I've got one for you. Last little bit of news, very exciting. Color e-ink display for a folding iPhone.
Okay.
Out of nowhere.
Where do we start?
Okay, let's bring e-ink in here, I guess.
Well, I think the folding thing will either happen, or it's at least being experimented. Apple is at least looking into it. And I think that should be obvious. That makes sense, right? Everybody else is doing it. Let's address the source of this rumor, because this is excuse my pronunciation, Mingji Kuo, who is maybe the most reliable Apple analyst and reporter of upcoming Apple things. So I would otherwise have taken this very lightly, probably wouldn't have even reported on it because it just sounds so absurd, but it's coming from a source that we've relied upon because of how accurate he's been. The foldable iPhone, multiple sources claim that it's coming 2025 at the earliest. I could see that happening. The color e-ink display is fascinating because good luck finding one right now. I mean, they basically don't exist. TCL teased the NXT paper, Next paper, which is, think of your Kindle e-reader. It's black and white. Add color to it. Not the most vibrant color, but, and you basically get this really low power panel that,
thinking like a Game Boy Color.
Yeah. Something like that. Exactly. And so the rumor is that Apple will put one of these on the outside of their foldable phone so that it conserves battery life. You can have it on at all times, ideally. I actually see it. I see it. It's not a bad idea, really. I mean, it could work. It's just we're so far away from either of those things happening, like actually seeing color e-ink out in the wild and Apple releasing a foldable phone, that hearing about this rumor today just feels a little silly.
Yes.
But I wouldn't discount it entirely.
I want to discount it just because I see what Samsung has done by putting their bright AMOLED right there on the front. And, you know, the Samsung displays, sorry, everyone else, remain unparalleled in my mind. I just love the vibrancy. And you know what? I do like the saturation of Samsung displays.
Maybe a little over saturation, but it's nice.
I know. It is nice. And so I'd be really curious to see how Apple would pull this off. But again, it could just be that they filed a patent just to keep on to it, just to hold on to something. And why wouldn't they? They have so much money to be able to actually pour into the research and development to figure out the best way to do this.
Yeah, just patent everything and then pick the ones that work.
And even if it's not the best way, it doesn't matter because it's the only way if you're using an Apple product. So.
You're going to get it. I mean, the idea that Apple would release a foldable that you assume folds closed and the front wouldn't have a full screen display that you could use as the main display when it's closed sounds a little unlikely. I don't know. I don't see. I mean, that's the Surface Fold, I think. It's not called that. The Surface. I'm getting there. The folding one that goes on
folding,
sale for Duo.
Surface. There it is, hold Duo. On. We're doing this live and on air, folks. Folding.
Oh, goodness. Surface. Just call everything the Fold so we don't get confused.
The new Microsoft Surface. No, that's not what I'm looking. The Surface
it's the
Duo.
It's the Duo. Yeah, it is.
You know why? Because that runs Android. That's why I wasn't thinking about it.
Yeah, right.
That's why.
Yeah, that thing is just, I don't know what to say about it. Anyhow.
Wow, that we completely blinked on that one. What does that say about the Duo release? Sorry,
the phone that's always $1,000 on sale.
Yeah, that's because that's what I want, $1,000 on sale. Ooh, what a deal. Well, I feel like that's a good time for us to take a little break from all of this wild Apple news that has been going around the rumor mill. And when we get back, we'll talk about something a little more like available, which is the new Sony headphones.
You can host the best backyard barbecue when you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Phil, did you own the WX? Hold on, I have to read the model number. The WX1000 XM4s. Did you own the predecessors to the XM5s?
I owned, and this is a bit of a flex here, because I was an early adopter and had the XM2s and the XM3s as well.
You have a history.
I do. I have a history with these history. With these Sony headphones. I bought my wife the XM3s, and she's already asking me for the 5s, so I'm saving up. I think it's always a great sign when you own a product that you really love and have no problems with it, and yet you still want the next one. That's how good these headphones are.
That's very true. $400, by the way, for the WH-1000 XM5s. And I know this is like very, like, how do I ask for this at the Sony store? You're not going to walk into a Sony store. We used to have a Sony store in the Bay Area. That's why in my mind, there's always going to be a Sony store you can walk to. But
I would have walked into the Sony store.
Yeah, it was fun. They had like virtual bowling. They had like a food court. What? It was like a whole thing. Yeah, it's just, you know, early aughts. They really, you know. Anyway, these are Sony's flagship wireless headphones. They are, I would like to offer a visual representation. These are not the new ones. The new ones were reviewed by our colleague, Andrew Luzuski. These are the last version, the predecessors. And they're, I love them. I use them every single day. That's why they're the flagship headphones. So they got a major redesign. I don't know.
Can I step away for a second? Because I have headphones that look even closer to them.
Yes. Yes. Okay. So while Phil does that, I'm going to go through some of these things. So flagship wireless headphones, major redesign, 4 more microphones on it for active noise cancellation. All right, what have you got for us, Phil?
These are the new Sony. No, they're not. These are the Bose. These are the direct competitors to the Sonys. They're also $400. They're the Bose 700s, headphone 700s. They're very, very good. I like them a lot. The new Sonys look more similar to these than the XM4s.
That's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I'm going sleeker. Based off of just like the photos I've seen, right? Because I haven't used these, but I trust our colleague, obviously. He is the expert on these things. And he really liked, Andrew really liked the best. He said this is the best active noise cancellation you can buy and that they top even the Apple AirPods Max, you know, those big $500 cans that you can buy.
$500, just to emphasize that.
Well, they're... I mean, if you've got the whole app, it goes with the aesthetic. I get it. Okay. I get it. Sony also increased the interior size of each of the ear cups. So it sits better on your head without kind of rubbing against your ears. This is a big issue that I have with the XM4s actually, to the point that I have to clean them more often because you get acne if you don't clean your headphones.
This is true. That's like a good PSA there. Mm-hmm. If you take them to the gym, especially, wipe them down. Wipe down your gym equipment, too. While you're doing that, wipe down your headphones.
Have we learned nothing in the pandemic?
Nothing.
Everything
at all.
Has germs and is disgusting. Like, just clean it. By the way, they now use a synthetic leather material and foam padding. Also very soft, just like the predecessors. That's like the one thing I really love about my headphones is how soft they are. Also really nice is that despite the additional and improved electronics inside this set of headphones, Sony has managed to actually lighten the XM5s. So they weigh 250 grams compared to the 254 grams of the XM4s. Yes, I know that's minimal, but I understand what Andrew's trying to say here, because when you are wearing something on your head, on your person, that little difference in grams really does, like, it's palpable. I do feel.
And then when you add in that they're slimmer, sleeker, they look better in my opinion, and yet they're even, I mean, they improved the noise cancellation, they added mics. It's like they packed more into them and then they reduced the size and the weight.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. That's right. And the Apple AirPods Max, by the way, weigh 384 grams by comparison.
Oh, really?
Ooh. Wow. Yeah. Andrew says that taking them off after an hour's use feels much different than removing the XM5s, which he sometimes forget he's actually wearing. I feel that way too with the XM4s. So I feel like before we get into how justified your wife is for asking for these $400 headphones, we need to talk about the caveats, because there's always a caveat.
Yes.
The bummer for frequent air travelers is that the headphones do not fold down as compact as the predecessors. So what was kind of cool is that the XM4s came with like this very cool case, and you could like perfectly fold it down.
Ooh, a visual and for us?
No, because it's...
It's fine. I'm sorry. I haven't left the house. Like
I haven't left the house in 2 years.
For the foldy, do you have the headphones on hand?
Well, I have the headphones on me to show you how they fold.
Yeah.
I don't have the case. The case is buried in my closet right now. So this is how they fold in this cute little thing.
Do you also case backwards? Because you have to fold the right ear cup first. Do you always do the wrong one first and when you're trying to put it in the case?
Is it bad I don't use the case?
Oh, let's just leave that.
I know.
So now they do what the Bose do, which is just, wow. That's it.
Hmm. Yeah.
So you can rest them on your, on your neck or whatever, but you can't fold them down.
Oh, that's why they did that? So you could just put them on your chest?
I think so. But what's weird about these, and I don't know if it's the same about the Sonys, is that the left, looking cool.
Okay.
When you're wearing them properly, left and right, they fold outwards, so the plastic bit would actually go on your neck and the interior would face outwards. Doesn't make any sense to me.
Oh, is this so when you're walking on the train and going between cars, you just have music blasting out from your chest?
I think that's it. they're portable. They're Bluetooth speakers too.
Sure. Well, they come with a larger case, but really, if you can deal with that, this $400 sounds like these are a worthy investment, based on the reviews that have been pouring in about them. So
these are
buying them, but
it sounds like I have to. No, I'm just kidding.
You do.
The previous ones were $350, and that $50 just, it sounds like a lot more. I don't know why, just the rounder number, but I think they're worth it. They improved the noise cancellation. It seems like the sound is even better. They're sleeker. They look nicer. Sony did good.
So I was going to try and make some pun about how Sony got its groove back, but
Oh, I like it.
Did they ever lose their groove?
Well, these have been pretty effortless for them.
Yeah.
But there was a before this, you could look around and be like, well, what's Sony up to when it comes to consumer gadgets? And then these came around and it was like, oh, well, you just dethroned Bose. That's a big deal. Sony's back. But after it's been 5 years. So
I'll tell you what they're not making. They're not making Android phones anybody's buying.
No, they're not.
They did make
headphones.
They're still making Android phones, by the way. It's just you cannot ever find them or buy them. So
they're really expensive. Really, really expensive.
Very expensive. Like these headphones.
Right.
But these ones will tell you are worth it. So that's
they will last for many years. The only concern, this is a long-term investment. With anything wireless, it's how long will the battery last? And with all headphones, it's not something that's going to be easily replaceable. I haven't had too many issues with the threes. So those are 2 years old and they still hold a charge pretty well, close to the 30 hours advertised. The new ones have 30 hours of battery life as well. But yeah, the battery will degrade over time. It just doesn't seem to happen that quickly. I have heard about AirPods, the smaller earbuds, degrading a lot faster after a couple of years. The battery has dropped several hours. That I don't think you have to worry about too much with these. The $400 will go a long way. Yeah. Have you had issues with that? I don't know how long you've had those.
These are fine.
Yeah.
The problem with these is the wind blows and they fall out of my ear. So.
Yeah, that's a bigger issue.
All right. Well, let's take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about something much heavier. than this. Oh, yeah.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fun for our last portion for me to just be completely self-indulgent about something that I got for my birthday last week. I got a printer. I asked birthday Santa for a printer, and Santa delivered. Santa not only delivered me a birthday printer, Santa also delivered me a laminator.
Wow.
I know. We got a whole print shop going on here. And sincerely, this is what I wanted for my flow lab slash office slash whatever this room is.
That, flow lab. I like that.
Yeah. I'm calling it the flow lab now. And actually, by the way, if you go to TikTok, I call it the flow lab. I started posting more about like my mechanical keyboards and my Tamagotchi, but that's beside the point. So I got a printer. I asked for the HP DeskJet 6700. It's a very cute printer. If you look at it, you will see it comes in several different colors. I got it in the cute little teal trimming, so it matches really nicely with the pinks and purples in my room. Obviously, aesthetics are very important to me, but also making sure that I wasn't taking up more of the precious little space that I don't have. Because actually, this is my second printer that I have in my room. I also have a giant laser jet printer.
Oh my gosh.
From Brother. Yes. We bought it many, many years ago, just specifically for like printing documents, shipping labels. You know, we like sold and bought a house in the last couple of years, so that like people still use paper for those things. Even there's all this digital signing. So we had to get a printer that wouldn't cost us ink.
Commercial grade.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Went straight commercial grade. Now, here's the fun thing about this printer, though. The Brother printer specifically is that it has a part on it that breaks constantly. Yes. And we found that AliExpress has a particular listing for this part. And so we bought it in bulk, waited 5 weeks. And so I have a baggie of these little parts for whenever the printer breaks.
It's like the least stressful damage that can happen. Oh, well, it's popped off again. Give me the bag.
Exactly. But the thing is I was talking to some of my friends last week because I was like, hey, I got a printer. And, you know, the first thing I did with the HP DeskJet is actually, I'm going to be honest, I haven't printed anything for Mona, my kiddo, with the new printer. I've only been printing it with the Brother because what I did is I have all these free templates now through the HP app. So I've just been printing out like coloring pages and like worksheets because I don't know. I want my kid to be a genius or something. So I've decided to like print her worksheets even though she can't read. But I'm trying to like, she uses whiteboard markers. So I've been laminating worksheets for her, like tracing worksheets, things like that to kind of help her better maneuver a marker, so to speak. And she likes it. She thinks it's very cool that you can draw on the paper and it just wipes off.
It's a great idea.
So, yes. But the laminator is also, by the way, for the Pokemon cards. I just wanted to.
Pokemon cards?
I just wanted to make that. Oh, God. Yeah. We'll do a fan segment another day about my Pokemon card collection.
I'll need to break mine out then.
Sounds like a first ever Gadgets live stream. Go through my Pokemon cards with me. We could actually get a lot of hits that way, but that's another here nor there. I wanted to bring up the printers because for $100, which is how much this desk jet was, I am already like, I'm really scared to print anything on it because I do not want to pay for ink.
Yeah. Have you seen those bulk ink printers? The ones where you get the big bottles and you just like stick the nozzle into the thing. You see the levels rise. I had one of those previously. It seemed all right.
I'm really scared to go that route. I got a couple of comments from readers/listeners who saw me posting on social media about my printer. They were like, oh, sign up for the HP. HP has like an ink. I forgot what it's called. Yes. So the printer is app connected because of course it is. And so when the ink runs out, it immediately pings HP and they bundle up your ink and mail it to you.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. So I don't have to like go to Amazon and be like, oh crap, now I need to, you know,
that's even better than those. What were those little Amazon like dots that you'd like, you just tap them and it would order? Do they still do that? I never tried those out. That's even better than that. Even more immediate.
Yeah, even more immediate. It's, by the way, Amazon discontinued those.
Oh, they did. Okay.
They were the dash buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you would get like a Tide one and you would put it in your laundry room and be like, uh-oh, I'm running out of Tide. Boop. You press the
button. It's just Amazon.
Well, now you would just do that with an Echo or an Echo Show.
Yep.
In your house.
Just tell it to order you something.
Yeah, the Echo Show 15. I have it out in the room. I just go and I tap a little thing and it sends me more eyeliner.
Wow. Sounds dangerous.
It is dangerous, especially when you have an Amazon credit card. neither here nor there.
5% off or back, I should say.
I do get money back. It's nice. 3%. It's only 3%. But that's my ode to the printer. I just wanted to tell everybody they got a printer and laminator. And if anybody needs my lamination services, please like feel free to hit me up. I just recently bought a bulk pack of lamination sleeves. So, oh, the other thing I'm going to laminate, my 90210 teeny bopper clippings. Because
do your listeners know about your 90210?
Yeah, they do.
I assume they do. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. But remember, Teeny Bopper magazines, they were newspaper print, right? Only the cover would be color and then everything on the inside was like crappy newspaper. And age, you know, deprecates that. So I had to get a laminator so I can make sure that my giant printout of Luke Perry, rest in peace, immortalized as a 21-year-old is immortalized in lamination. Thank you, birthday Santa. Thank you for making my dreams come true. Phil, do you have a printer?
I do not have a printer. No, I was using a company printer before, and I now just go to FedEx and have them print everything off. But at some point, yeah, they'll do that for you.
Yeah, but then you have to go all the way to FedEx, and it's like such a thing. And
oh, do you have, when you return stuff, do you just have them pick it up at your door or whatever? Because I'm returning laptops like constantly.
I live in a small town, so I have to go to like the one mailbox place and like, hey everybody, here's my packages. This is UPS. This is FedEx. This is GHL.
Oh yeah. Well, fortunately, all of the laptop makers, they seem to come together and agree on FedEx. So I will walk in there with 10 to 15 laptops and just drop them on the counter and they'll print everything
out. Also, can I have this printed?
Yeah, exactly. I'm their biggest fan.
I do think it's worth getting a printer. It's just the thing I want to end on about these printers is that they just will not die. No matter how big or annoying or connected or like wasteful they are still such a necessary part of society.
And it's the same moving parts that they've had for decades.
Exactly.
They figured it out.
You can buy them off AliExpress. If you need. In bulk. In bulk, baby.
Bulk printers.
Well, I feel like that it's time for us to go. I'm gonna forever talk about how much I love my printers, my little corral of printers. Phil, thank you so much for filling in for Michelle today. You did such a great job as always.
Oh, thank you. It was a lot of fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. I sincerely appreciate you. I want to also thank our producer and editor, Artem Golub, for making us sound good and look good now every week. We now have video component to Gadgets. So if you would like to see our shining faces on camera, you can go to gizmodo.com and check out the clips. We will also have clips publishing to YouTube after this episode airs on your RSS feed. So you get double the gadgets, triple the gadgets if you want it. You know what else I'm going to laminate? I'm going to laminate this very cool background that we have and the very cool podcast art that we have from our cover designer, Vicky Lita. Thank you so much for making this beautiful art that is following us everywhere. I also want to remind everybody that if you do want to reach out to us, we have an email, gadgets@gizmodo.com. It goes straight to our inboxes. Just send us comments, questions, concerns, maybe a clarification, or I don't know, just whatever's on your mind, go ahead and send us an email. You can also tweet us @Gizmodo, and you can find us on our respective social media profiles. Phil, where can folks find you on the social media?
You can find me on Twitter @Philip_Tracy.
Perfect. I am @OhThatFlow. no underscores. Subscribe to us, please, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, you can leave us a review, and it helps us a ton over there. Until next week, everybody, get some rest. Stay tuned to those rumors.